challenge. And let me say something before he does this. Sister Vicky says she didn't challenge us. But when you sit in the office talking to two guys that are just red from the neck up, that's a challenge.
That has to do with the song this morning, y'all, not Advent. I challenged him to Advent.
Hey, hold on, Brother Jimmy, you gotta get us up the microphone.
For the second week in Advent, we focus on peace. In John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Prince of Peace, reveal yourself to us today. We need peace in our lives, our homes, our families, our church, and our whole world. Help us to slow down and seek out the peace you provide so we may become peacemakers for ourselves and others. In your name, Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen. Got a page two.
Go for it, brother.
Second Sunday of Advent. On this second Sunday of Advent, we think about the coming of Jesus Christ. We light the candles of peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. He is the Prince of Peace, and the fruit of His presence is peace. That's in Isaiah 9:6 and Galatians 5:22. Christ comes to bring justice, wholeness, and harmony to every relationship throughout all creation. He wants to continually grant us peace in every situation. That's in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Jesus, we pray, guide our feet into the path of peace. That's in Luke 1:79.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You did a fine job, brother.
Nice.
God is so good.
Yes, He is.
We're going to get back. First, let me change this, and then we're going to get back to our sermon. You know, normally on Christmas time, what I do is I try. I just ask God to let it be God themed. And this year, out of all years, as I was going through, I felt a challenge from the Lord, and that challenge was to do an Advent every year. I'm going to do Advent this year. Every time, whatever we got coming up, I'm going to do something on it. So that's going to do it. Before we get started, I want to tell you, an old country preacher needed to have a sign made that would tell the people passing on the freeway about the wonder of Christmas. Pretty cool, isn't it? And then quite a ways out of town, then I have access to any of the modern conveniences of phone or email. In fact, he was only able to send quick messages via the telegraph from the local general store. You think we go by? Think we might have some problems. Since telegraphs charge by the letter, he tried to make the message concise so that the sign builder would know exactly what he wanted, but without wasting any extra letters. He rushed out to the general store and he sent off his message. Now, the story picks up at the sign-making company and the poor clerk who received the telegraph message. As the message printed out, she gasped and fainted. The message that she read was, Unto us a child is born, 6 foot long and 3 foot wide. Okay. My wife thought it was funny. Well, of course, we share the same brains, so whatever she thinks went out of the vice versa. Okay. God's peace. Now, I want everybody to stand up. We're just going to pray, then you can sit back down. Because I'm going to be going through a bunch of scriptures. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this hour. We thank you, God, for something that the world is craving right now more than it ever has before, and that's peace. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, anoint us, and help us, God, to know that you're in total control, and that you have a peace that does pass all understanding, meaning we can't even figure out how we can have peace and how we can feel so peaceful in the midst of our storms. I ask you right now, Lord, to stand up, Lord. This boat that many people are in today, they're experiencing the storm, and we need you to stand up and say, peace, be still. And we thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name. The church said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, we're talking about God's peace, and may the force be with you. May the force be with you. You know, I was studying peace this week. And I studied peace as I was looking at, the time that Jesus was born. And as I was looking back at the time Jesus was born, it was similar to today. As a matter of fact, it's kind of just like today in some ways. Let me just tell you how. There's no peace in the land. There was no peace. In Jesus' day, there was, don't say no peace. There was no peace. Rome was in charge, and Rome was conquering the world. Whenever they would conquer another country, they would bring part of that country over with them, and they would take part of the country of Israel and put them over where the other guys were to keep from having battles, because people had kinfolk everywhere. And they were large and in at charge, and they could actually, when you hear Jesus say, if somebody compels you to go a mile, you go an extra mile, the second mile. That actually is talking about the Roman military could come up to anybody, man, woman, and child, no matter what condition they were in, and he could drop his equipment on the ground. And by law, you had compelled me to be put into military service. And so it's talking about if a Roman soldier came up to you, and whatever he was holding, he could drop it on the ground in front of you, and you would have to carry it for him for 1 mile. Now, Jesus said, we're going to do better than that. If they compel you, put you in the military service to do 1 mile, you're going to do 2, because you're going to be different. You're going to start showing them what peace is all about. Let's go a little bit deeper. Now, this world that Jesus was born in, let me just tell you out here some very powerful facts. It was not the peaceful place that we have imagined, that a pretty old manger scene, and we're singing Silent Night, Holy Night, which is wonderful, because it is for us, but for the world. Galilee was under the control of the brutal Roman Empire. When the Romans captured a region or a country, they ruled it with martial law. They levied heavy taxes that put significant burdens on the people. Listen to this. Rome took 50% of what somebody made. Rome took 50%. Herod the governor took another 25%. And the tax collectors often kept 15% for themselves. So the people were left with 10% or less of their income to live. Powerful stuff going on there. Again, so there was no peace. 40% of the infants in Galilee died before the age of 5. They had to work nonstop every day just to survive. The political, economic, and spiritual climate there was in total shambles. Rome had a powerful foothold. What they said went. And if you were not a Roman citizen, they could about do what they wanted to do with you. The Jews, God gave a minimum. You could only give them 40 stripes or 39 stripes, say one. That's all a man could handle. But the Romans, they would just beat and beat and beat and beat and beat. Jesus was not beat by the Jews, although they instigated it, he was beat by the Romans. That's why he was beat so bad. It was more than 40 times. So, Rome had a powerful foothold. Religion had a powerful foothold. You could barely move without doing something wrong spiritually. God gave his set of rules. God gave a set of laws. And you look into Leviticus and you see these laws and these rules. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees came along and added over 10,000 extra laws. So it was impossible to even walk out the door without breaking a law. What all these people needed was peace. But peace was only in their dreams. Some of y'all are in here today, and you're saying, God, all I need is just a little peace. 5 minutes would be great. God, I need you to step in on the scene and do something. Because, just like Israel, we've got so many things in this world today that has a very powerful foothold on us. But the peace I'm talking about is a very powerful peace. Matter of fact, it is a force to be reckoned with. God's peace is not like the peace the world gives off. Jimmy just read it. The peace that Jimmy talked about, or the peace that Jesus was talking about, the world gives, can be shaken very easily. It has to have to be held by gunpoint or by spear point. It would have to be held by laws and regulations. But Jesus said, the peace I give you is not like that peace. The peace I give you is a powerful peace. The peace I give you has got a force in it that none of these other pieces can even take care of. God saw they needed this peace. Instead of obviously in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. The peace of God, listen carefully, the peace of God is not just a condition. It is a powerful, powerful force. It is not fragile like the world's peace. It is a tangible, tangible force. Watch this, I love this. Romans 16 and 20 says, the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet. Why did he say the God of power? Why did he say the God of strength? Because most of the time when Satan's attacking, yeah, we want deliverance. Yeah, we want God to help us. Yes, we need God to help. But what's the number one thing people tell me when I'm counseling? When I go up on an accident, when I whatever is that, go into jail, wherever I go, the number one thing people tell me is, I just need a little peace. Wow. How about your co-workers come up to you? And when you listen to when they're talking to you and stressing out over things, you'll find out that most stress can be handled if we can just get some peace. Amen? So he didn't say the God of power and the God of strength, but the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet. Because peace is more, peace is a power, peace is God's strength, but peace is so powerful that the world cannot resist it. God's peace is a threefold peace to be reckoned with. And then we're going to talk about threefold peace. And I hope before you leave here today, if you don't have all three of these in your life right now, before we leave today, I pray that God gives you all three. Now, the very first one, we're going to build it up, and then we're going to jump right on in it. First is peace with God. Y'all said peace with God.
Peace with God.
Y'all say it again, peace with God.
Peace with God.
All right. Here we are, we're looking at the Christmas story again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, goodwill. Glory to God has peace on earth. Well, there it is, on earth peace. I got it, God. These glasses, I had to tell you a while ago, I was squirting some stuff in my nose and getting the frog out my throat, and I squirted it right on my glasses.
Oh.
Benny come back, and I'm trying to look like a little orphan Annie. So I was trying to get my glasses cleaned off so I can come up here, and then when I got, by the time I got here, the stuff I took, the spread of my nose worked. And then, praise God, and I still have a little orphan anything going on here. Here we go. Let's try it again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I want you to watch this now. Listen carefully. The word peace there, peace on earth, is eirene, which means to bind together that which has been separated. That's what that word means. Eirene means to bind together that which was separated. On the cross, man was separated from God. Jesus reached up with one hand on the cross. That's why he was hanging above the earth. He reached up with one hand and grabbed God. He reached out with the other hand and grabbed man. And he bound them together at the cross. So, look at this. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you, let you not your heart be troubled, agitated, stirred to the point that you can't even think. Has your heart been stirred before? Remember, your heart is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, your emotions. Has your heart been so stirred lately that you found yourself stirred and agitated, and people look at you and go, you're not acting like yourself? Anybody tell you that lately? Have you felt that? This isn't me. This is not the way I act. It's because your mind, your will, your emotions has been stirred. Neither let it be afraid. John 14, I love this, the New Living Translation. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Woo! How many love that thought? God's leaving me a gift. He's going to give me peace of mind.
Amen.
Wow. So, the peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Now, the Old Testament. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This word here is shalom, which means to be whole mentally, physically, spiritually. In hermeneutics, as you study hermeneutics and as you study the transliteration of different words from Hebrew to Greek and Greek to Hebrew, shalom in the Old Testament is the same word as eirene in the New Testament. So, God was telling us, I know that you've been separated from me. And I want to stand in. I want to reconnect with you. And when I reconnect with you, it's going to give you, it's going to make you whole mentally, physically, spiritually. I want you to think about something. How man has desperately sought for peace. When Adam fell in the garden, there's a whole lot of indications here, spiritual indications. But Adam, after he fell in the garden, he felt it. His wife felt it. They knew that they were naked and they were afraid. Their hearts were troubled. And the very first record of religion in the Bible was the fig leaf. Very first thing. They took a fig leaf to cover their sin. I'm not talking about body parts being a sin. I talk about they knew when they saw their nakedness before God, they were ashamed. And so the fig leaf, the very first religious experience in the Bible. So along the way, as they began to worship God, God, the second religious experience was when he sacrificed animals and gave their skins to Adam and Eve to cover them. So that was the first sacrifice. But again, it was just religion. And I can tell you what religion does. Religion builds a wall between you and God. Don't anybody try to tell you that you got to follow step 1, 2, 3, 4. If you check all these boxes off and you do this and this, everything's going to be fine. No! Peace comes when Jesus tears down that wall. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the Amplified verse. I love this. Therefore, since we have been justified, that is, acquitted of sin, declared blameless before God by faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God and the joy of reconciliation with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, the eirene of God, the shalom of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. check out anybody else before I help anybody else. You know, when I was in the airplane, traveling the plane, the stewardess gets up and says, if we start getting turbulence and we start, our oxygen starts messing up, I first want you to put the oxygen on yourself so that you can help somebody else. If you don't put the oxygen on you first, you may not survive to help somebody else. The same way, there's a lot of people out here hurting, but in order for you to be used to your full extent, you're going to have to go to God and say, God, I need you to help me too. I've seen some of the biggest people try to give me the greatest spiritual advice and know nothing about God. No, I want my spiritual advice from somebody that knows about God, knows His Word. So, first peace, spiritual peace, peace with God. The next peace is the peace of God. Y'all say peace of God.
Peace of God.
All right, peace of God. You see, this is different. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. How many times lately has somebody told you one thing, and then you start doing it, then it switched over to another thing, and then it switched over to another, and you're so confused? One of my favorite sayings to say is, you know what, I'm about as confused as a termite, or mixed up as a termite in a yo-yo. Because it keeps changing and changing and changing and changing. Aren't you glad God doesn't change like that? Message is, God doesn't stir us up into confusion. He brings us into harmony. God wants you to have peace within. I know the things around us, there's a lot of things that take away our peace. But guess what? Isaiah 26:3 says, He will keep you in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Psalm 4:8, in peace I will both lay down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And finally, again, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, meaning you can't even figure it out, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I saw when I was doing one of those studies when I was taking psychology, and I was taking psychology, one of the courses I was taking said that you could go into any city and you could reduce, listen carefully, you could reduce, this was Christian-based psychology. It said you could reduce the mental wards and the heart wards by over 50 to 80% if people could just grasp peace of God. Wow. That's amazing. So, this is personal peace. But then there's one more peace. So you want to have spiritual peace, you want to have personal peace. But then I want to have peace through God. I got peace with God, me and Him are okay. I got the peace of God because I'm resting in His promises. But now I got peace through God. I want peace through God. Get ready. We're just about through. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Ephesians 6:15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on readiness given by the gospel of peace, or having your feet shod with the gospel of peace, meaning wherever I walk, I bring peace with me. It's amazing. Have you ever noticed this? I notice this as a chaplain all the time. All the time. I notice this as a pastor all the time. You can go into a situation that's very, very bad. Very bad. Very hostile situation. But you can go in that situation, and by your demeanor and by the way you handle yourself, knowing that you've got the peace with God and the peace of God, as people see this, now, you start having the peace through God. Because you can, you, not just me, you can become a calming force wherever you go. Why? If you've got your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you're bringing it with you. Not only are you bringing it with you, you're walking in it yourself. So, there's peace with God, there's peace of God, and there's the peace. peace, our peace through God. John 16:33 said, I said these things to you that you may have peace. You may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. That word tribulation means to have extreme pressure, extreme persecution, or an extreme burden. It's not the burden that kills you, it's how you carry it. It's the position of the burden that gets you. It's not the burden itself, it's the position of the burden. So, this is relational peace. God, help us have relational peace. Now, I'm getting ready to close, but just before I close, I want you to see something. I love this. Threefold force of God's peace, the force be with you. How do I know that His birth brought such a force of peace? How can I trust the angel's announcement? I was studying this week. This is so awesome. And this is not all of them. But Mary went to Bethlehem and gave birth to her son Jesus, the Son of God. 12 prophecies. 12 prophecies came to pass. Before I can get into each of the prophecies, the odds of one of these prophecies, just one of these prophecies, coming to pass. If you would take the state of Texas and you took silver dollars, and you took silver dollars and covered the entire state of Texas, so wherever you are, you're stepping on dollars. And before they laid them out, you wrote your name on the back of one of them. With a marker. And you threw it. And here they are, scattered over Texas. And you had just a few minutes to walk through Texas and reach down and pick up. You know exactly where to pick up that dollar with your name on it. The odds of that happening are the same odds of these 12 prophecies being fulfilled with the birth of Christ. You ready? Number one, the offering, the offspring of a woman, Genesis 3:15. From a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Psalm 2:7, the Son of God, Genesis 22:18, the descendant of Abraham. From the line of Isaac, Genesis 21:12. From the nation of Israel, Numbers 24:17. From the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10. From the family of Jesse, Isaiah 11:1. From the house of David, Jeremiah 23:5. In Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. Presented with gifts, Psalm 72:10. Children was going to be killed, Jeremiah 31:15. Look at all of those scriptures that came to pass because of the birth of Jesus Christ. If He can do all that and fulfill those promises, let me ask you a question. He also promised us peace. Don't you think He can give us peace? Don't you think that He can do the same for us if He fulfilled those 12 promises just by being born? Wow. It's amazing. So now, here's how we're going to do this. Randy, get ready to come play, bro. Threefold force of God's peace. Ready? How can this force be with you? That's a good question. I hear it all the time. I hear people tell me this all the time. I see it on you, but how can I feel it myself? How can I associate with that peace myself? I hear it all the time. First, you have to believe it's possible. Let me ask you a question. Don't look around. Don't point any fingers. Do you believe that God's promise to you to give you peace, not like the world gives you that gift of a settled mind? Do you believe that it's possible? And number two, do you believe that it's possible for you? A lot of times people believe it's possible, but it's not my situation. shalom, his eirene, peace with God, peace of God, peace through God. Do you believe that it's possible? And do you believe that it's possible for you? Next, after you believe it, you've got to accept it and walk in it. Put on the shoes, the gospel of peace. Put on those shoes. Walk in them. Trust God. I love this. Number 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom.
Struggle with peace.
peace with God. Nobody's looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. We just put that hand up and say, I'm having a struggle here. I'm having a struggle. I know God wants me to be His. I know God has it for me, but I'm having a struggle. Put that hand up. Bless them, Lord, bless them. Maybe you're here today, and these are directly connected. Not only having a problem with your peace with God, you're having a problem with the peace of God. Maybe there's circumstances in your life that are happening you weren't expecting. You thought if I did this, then this would happen. If I did this, then this would happen. Or if I would just do this, then these things would fall into place. And you did that instead of falling into place to fill pieces. God not only wants you to have the peace with Him, but He wants you to have His peace in your life, the peace of God in your life. Today, you need that peace. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. We just say, Pastor, I really need some peace. I need the peace of God. Put that hand up. I need it. Bless them, Lord. And then finally, peace through God. So I put on the shoes of peace, but they keep coming in tight. I put on the shoes of peace, but I feel like I put the wrong size on. I don't know what's going on. But I'm not bringing peace with me. You can, and you will. Remember, this is a gift. It's a gift. But you've got to apply it in your own life. You've got to apply this. I remember last year, I got somebody a Christmas gift, and I sent it back to two people, and I sent it back in a special place. And I came this year and looked, and they're still there. Yes, they're still there. I told the people more than once, I got you a gift. It's there for you. But they never showed up. They never come and got it. I told them, I said, you know, if I can, I'll bring it to you. But that opportunity never arose. But two gifts. And they were right there, still wrapped, looking good, and they were never picked up. My question to you today is, has the gift of peace been laid at your feet? And either you don't think you're worthy enough, or you don't think you've done enough to reach down and unwrap that box. Remember, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Reach down. Open it up. Take that gift and apply it in your life. If you're here today, you need some peace through God. You really need Him to help you learn to walk in the shoes of faith. Need our shoes of peace. Needing you to learn how to be a calming presence in people's storms because you've got that peace. Nobody looking around, every head bowed. Just put the hand up and say, that's me, Pastor. I need that. I need to be that calming force. I need to be that calming force. I need God to put on those shoes, help me put on those shoes of peace. God gave them to me, but now I got to put them on. Do with us now. thank you, God.
I thank you, God.
I thank you, God.
Help me.
To accept.
To accept.
And apply.
And apply.
Your peace.
Your peace.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
God is so awesome. Lord, bring peace to her, Lord. Put her back up. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And I know, God, that you got all this together. I know, Lord, that the things falling to pieces, Lord, are actually falling together. We trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for it. Amen. 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 Amen.
Share it with others so that the whole world, one at a time, will be.